Almighty God, who in infinite love has given us his Son to take away our sin, also empowers us by the Holy Spirit for lives of new beginning and for daily strength for living out our faith. Hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you truly are forgiven. And in Jesus Christ, you can truly know God's peace. Amen. Please pray with me. Trusting that God desires to share his heart with us and that he invites, O gracious Lord, we join our brothers and sisters in the faith community of Iona in offering a prayer that they pray. O Christ, you are a bright flame before me. You are a guiding star above me. You are the light and love I see in others' eyes. Keep me, O Christ, in a love that is tender. Keep me, O Christ, in a love that is true. Keep me, O Christ, in a love that is strong today, tomorrow, and always. Dear Lord, we embrace the words of the psalmist. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. O God, in faith we draw close to you, offering our prayers of intercession. Heavenly Father, giver of every good and perfect gift, we pray for your church, wherever she is gathered this Lord's Day. Particularly, we pray for our own congregation, Northwood Presbyterian Church, as we celebrate 46 years of life and ministry in this place. O Lord, we give you all the praise and how you have blessed and guided us to this point, and how you have inspired and strengthened men and women of faith in this congregation with commitment, with vision, with the desire to share the love of Christ, so that Northwood might be a light on a hill in our community. O Lord, we know that you are the one who moves us to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and in your service is our highest joy. O Lord, we pray for all peoples. You are God over all. The heavens are proclaiming your glory, and your word is heard across the ends of this planet. Grant that the gospel of the risen Christ may be proclaimed this day to every people in every tongue. Grant that in communities everywhere, those who have no peace, those who are alienated, those who are alone, might find reconciliation and hope through the faithful witness of your people and the fellowship of your church. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for righteousness and justice. We pray for flourishing and generosity. You are sovereign above all those who are in positions of power and authority and influence. You have been our strength, our rock, our fortress. You have been the God of our ancestors, those who have gone before us, and by your grace, we will continue to walk in faith with you. Grant that our nation might be ever faithful to you, our God and our King. Heavenly Father, God of all comfort, we pray for those who suffer, for those who endure poverty, for those burdened by debt, for the sick, those with mental challenges, for all those struggling and overwhelmed in the midst of life's relentless demands and shattered dreams. O Lord, we seek to continue to grow as a faithful church family, striving to build on the life and ministry that has been shared over these last 46 years. O Lord, continue to give us a vision of what it means to be the hands and the feet and heart of Christ. May the Holy Spirit pour into our hearts anew your love, a love that moves us beyond our own concerns, as important as they may be, to have a heartfelt concern and compassion for our neighbors. By your grace, strengthen us for the journey today, tomorrow, and for all the days that are yet to come. And, O Lord, we again join our voices with the faith community of Iona. O Christ of the poor and the yearning, kindle in my heart within a flame of love for my neighbor, for my foe, for my friend, for my kindred all. From the humblest thing that lives to the name that is the highest of all, kindle in my heart within a flame of love. Hear us now, dear Lord, as we pray in love the prayer the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to the call to offering, we are declaring our commitment that we desire to participate with what God is doing in God's world. Friends, the joy and generosity and grace of the Lord are ever before us and with us. May we, in that same spirit as God's dearly beloved children, bring our tithes and offerings to our Heavenly Father. Please stand for the doxology. God of love, God of peace, this fractured world cries out in pain, cries that penetrate deep into our souls, challenge us to make a Christ-centered difference. We pray, God of love, God of peace, that you will bless and multiply these tithes and offerings we bring before your throne of grace. In so doing, may the Christ-centered gospel of our Lord go forth from your church in word and work, proclaiming the love of Christ. In the giving of our gifts, may we make a renewed commitment to live lives of love and compassion, seeking to make a difference for Jesus' sake. In whose name we pray. Amen.
We will get to hear the bagpipes once more at the conclusion of this service, following the benediction. Really, actually, during the closing hymn, the banner carriers will go back to their banners, and they will wait, and the band will process in, and they will play, and then they will lead all of us out, lead the banners out as they're carried. So please wait till after that in leaving the service. We had planned this one service for today to celebrate the Kirkin of the Tartan service. There's a lot to do in a service like this, and so we wanted to celebrate our unity as a church. People often say to me when we have the one service, they say, I said to so-and-so, I didn't know you went here to church. And so there's that added benefit as well. Tomorrow, you will see on the front of the bulletin, the 19th of February, is the actual anniversary of the church 46 years ago. People gathered here. And the one thing I was told that I left out of the annual report, at least in the financial report, was to celebrate with joy that we are debt-free. We are frugal, as Scottish Presbyterians should be. The sermon for this morning is entitled, Where's the Joy? There are two readings. The first is from the Gospel of John and then the Gospel of Matthew. They were selected because you will notice in both of these readings, the one from Matthew's gospel being very brief, just one verse, you will notice they are filled with emotion, fear, joy, sorrow, pain, and again, joy. And so listen as I read first from the Gospel of John in chapter 16, beginning at verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is in travail, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that the child is born into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And then I'm reading in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, just the 8th verse. You remember the context of this one verse. It is Easter Sunday morn, and the women have returned to the tomb where Jesus has been buried. An angel appears to the women and says to the women, he is not here, just as he told you he would not be. And then the angel tells them to go back and tell the other disciples that he has risen. And then our verse 8 appears. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Let us bow in silence as we come to the message this morning. In Christ's name, amen. It has been said that the first century Christian church was a joyous church. Indeed, joyous people. There is the Bible scholar T.L. Glover, and he has said that the early Christians had two distinguishing marks. One, they were joyful, and secondly, they were always getting into trouble. You remember the Apostle Paul, he wrote to those churches, and over again, he used the word rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, again I say rejoice. He often said, give thanks in all things. And he lists even one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as joy. And joy is a sure sign of the indwelling of God's Spirit within any one of us. Joy. What I'm saying this morning, what I'm suggesting, is that to be a grim Christian is really an oxymoron. It just shouldn't be. And yet on this Sunday, in which we have bagpipes and drums and this large choir and this gathered congregation from two services and celebrate our 46 years on this grand occasion in worship, of all things I need to mention to you that there still is a kind of Christianity that exists at times and in certain places in our world that sometimes comes across sour and pointing and unpleasant. When you hear of this somewhere or someone being turned off by the church, you want to say, where was the joy? That's what it's all about, right? Where's the joy? There was an atheist philosopher. His name goes something like Friedrich Nietzsche. And he rebuked some in his day. This is what he said: better songs than these they must sing if I am to learn of their Redeemer. He also said his disciples must also look like they are redeemed. So look around, right? How many folks I have met over the years that I have welcomed into churches here and there and a number of places that I have served, and sometimes I have heard from our new members in all churches I've been in that people sometimes feel driven away from their churches because of folks they felt were unwelcoming or unfriendly or perhaps too strict about something, legalistic, or maybe even just sad-faced Christians. You may recall it was in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they would whiten their faces, put white paint on their faces so that people would see that they were very serious about their faith, that they were mourning of their sins. They were grieving their sins. They were pale, you see, wanted to appear pale from fasting, being very religious. And they even had grim faces to show how serious they were. And it was these same religious people who made the charge of Jesus that he was a wine drinker and a glutton because he enjoyed life. And he did. I love the story about the advertisement in the London newspaper. I've told it once before. It goes like this: wanted housekeeper, must be a good churchwoman to take entire charge of house and four servants. A cheerful Christian, if possible. When I read that, I thought, is there any other kind? However, there ought to be an obvious joy in your life if you are in Christ, if Christ's Spirit dwells within you. And I'm not talking about a simplistic joy or a fanatical joy that some Christians perhaps here or there may have. I'm talking about a deep sense and an abiding joy about you. Yet some have not got it. Or perhaps along the way they have forgotten it or lost it. It was Robert Burns, of all people, the Scottish poet, that said he was haunted rather than helped by his religion. Haunted rather than helped. Where was his joy? What had happened to him? Well, let's move on to another question this morning on this grand Kirkan of the Tartans Day and reclaim the joy that is ours in Jesus Christ. That's why we're here, to worship in joy. But the question comes, how can we talk about joy in a world like this? Weapons by terrorist group in our world that deliver bombs, explosives by those flying drones. No people, just the drones. Young men and women getting hurt all over the world needlessly, even from the shooting recently in Kansas City at the Super Bowl celebration parade. How senseless. We live in a world with so many dangers to people, especially our youth and children, dangers we never saw coming, but they exist. Well, note with me that the Bible speaks very little about happiness. It speaks very little about happiness. Joy, you see, joy and happiness are not the same thing. It's one of the most important things I've ever learned. Joy and happiness are different in our faith. Happiness depends on our outer circumstances. If things are going well, if by happenstance things are good, then we're happy. And if things happen to go bad, well, then we're not happy. That really puts you on an emotional roller coaster. However, the joy that is the gift of God's Holy Spirit is a gift that is indestructible. Indestructible. It is an attitude of well-being that can exist amid trouble, amid pain, even amid sorrow and grief. When the Apostle Paul, when he wrote his letters to the church, especially to the one in Philippi. It's one in which he tells them to rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. He reminds them to be in joy. And yet he is writing that letter shut away in prison. Now, that's the last place you would think you could be happy. But he was joyous. He knew that deep and abiding sense of joy. In writing this sermon, I thought of a passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It reminds us of this attitude that Jesus had in his faith. It reads, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." For the joy set before him? What joy was that? You know, the joy that set before him. He endured the cross. The cross. Scorning its shame, it continues, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As I shared with you earlier this morning at the announcements, I thank you again for your thoughts and prayers at the passing of my stepfather, stepfather of 20 years, Charlie Burks. And in the midst of the visitations that week, and there were several, Saudi Daisy and the other in Pigeon Forge. Presbyterians in Tennessee like to eat at funerals and visitations, and we did. And people came at those visitations I had not seen in years. It was a reunion, and we all remembered Charlie as a strong man of faith. A man of faith. He had that strong joy underneath any sorrow that he carried through his life. And he talked about that. We were able to greet people at his funeral during those visitations with expressions of hope and joy and faith because of the way he believed and the way that he lived. You know, there are many people often ask me, what do people do who do not have a Christian faith when the bottom falls out in life? How do they get through it? Well, some people get through it with a sense of cynicism. Some people get through things with a sense of resignation. That's just the way things are. Other people kind of have a lasting distrust about everything in the world. It takes faith, you see, faith to receive joy, a joy that never fails and can uphold you, even in the worst of times. And where does that joy come from? Let me suggest, first of all, that joy comes from, first, being a partner in the great cause of God. When you come to the realization that you're not just drifting or wandering through life aimlessly, it can bring a sense of deep satisfaction and joy to your living. It can. You show me someone who has identified their gifts in Christ and in the Spirit, and who is sharing those gifts with others, and I will show you a person living in joy. It's true. And it doesn't have to be a stupendous role as a servant in your life, like that of Mary, for example, the mother of Jesus. Still notice how, in that story, how she sang for joy when she got over the shock of the baby that she would bear. And she became a partner with God. Be a partner with God. I have always been fascinated by that story at Christmas, the Dickens Christmas Carol. It's one of my favorites. I like it, I believe, because it shows Scrooge moving in that classic story from saying bah humbug to being a person of deep joy, almost a hilarious joy about him. He goes around shouting at the end of that story, "I'm as light as a feather, I'm as happy as a schoolboy. Whoop, whoop, hello there." Down the street he goes. I tell you, I could use a whoop, whoop during the week sometime. How about you? But friends, on a day like today, with drums beating and bagpipes singing, today is the day we realize we are part of a cause that is greater than ourselves. Greater than ourselves. Secondly, I believe, and perhaps you believe this as well, that joy is the result of belonging to a celebrative community. And by this, I mean the great company of God. And by that I mean the fellowship of Jesus Christ in his church. Nothing else. A supportive community, a celebrative place. And not all churches express that kind of joy. Some communities, even those of faith, sometimes are full of strict structures, of simpering and sins. Nevertheless, it's next to impossible to be joyous, is it not, without the support of others along the way. I can say to you that Sunday morning for me is a time of celebration in my life. The music of the choirs, the band at the early service, the great songs of faith that we sing, they take me out of myself many times and bring me almost to the door of heaven. And I just live for this day of the week. It's a day of celebration. The responses and singing of the congregation, they remind me that I am not alone ever. The presence of those older than me, and there are only a few, they remind me that life can be lived beautifully even in the latest years. The attendance of those who I know are hurting and those who are worshiping with us through our live streaming, still being faithful, it gives me encouragement to see them battle on. Some mornings I expect you have heard me say this at the door, I am glad I get to worship here. And I would ask you this morning, aren't you? Especially on a day like today, and I mean that. Those experiences, they do that for me, and I hope they and pray they do it for you. In remembering our Scottish heritage as Presbyterians today, we should remember, too, that at times our ancestors were often too clannish. They were often warring with each other. They were too individualistic, not needing to rely on others. And that's why today we would also do well to hear from one English clergyman, John Wesley. And he was right on target when he said, there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. And there isn't. We can do so much more together as a church in worship, in education, with youth and children, and in mission than we can do as individual Christians. And of course, it's true. We can always do more. We can always do better. I sometimes have thought about our communion services and how they could maybe somehow display more joy sometimes. The word Eucharist, for example, the word Eucharist, it actually means thanksgiving. And communion, you see, is a meal of thanksgiving. And here's my thinking on this, that thanksgiving among us, we come to the supper not simply to grieve for our sins and ask for forgiveness. We come not only to remember that Christ died for our sins, and he did, but we also come to rejoice that we are forgiven and to rejoice that our risen Lord meets us at the table in the bread and in the cup. When we partake, we meet him. It is a time of joyous celebration at the table. Why? Because God is good. Life is good. And the love of God will never let us go. We remember that each time we come to the table. It's a table of joy. I learned growing up that Presbyterians often are pictured as grim and cold. I had a Sunday school teacher, Mildred Zabinden. She was from Pennsylvania, and she was a tough Sunday school teacher. She was sometimes grim. It took me a long time to learn how much love she had for all of us. You had to get past that posture that she had. But we have been careful not to trust our emotions as Presbyterians, but to rely only on the fact of Scripture. Emotions can sway us. Facts can't. Emotions. Many of us know the first question of the Shorter Catechism in our Reformed heritage as Presbyterians. The first question, the old question at least, it's revised now. What is the chief end of man? And you would expect, because of our doer attitude, our reputation, something would come in an answer about an answer of duty or an answer of responsibility or an answer about seriousness. But here's the answer. The chief end of man and woman is to glorify God and enjoy Him, to enjoy Him forever. And so I ask you, do you enjoy God when you come to worship? Do you enjoy God in your life and faith? Your faith should give you joy. It is thoroughly a Presbyterian thing for it to do that. The Scotsman George MacDonald, he put it this way, "It is the heart that is not sure of its God that is afraid to laugh and dance in His presence." Wouldn't you love it to be able to dance around that table? In joy, even in private. The gift of God's joy is contagious. Finally, joy comes, thirdly, when we are confident in the ultimate victory that's given to us in Jesus Christ. The future you see is rigged. Things may be ugly now in this world. Sin and sickness and hatred and sorrow, they all surround us. But still, the victory is in God's hands. We have a place reserved for us. And at that place, in the presence of God, there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, nor any more pain. One little boy wrote about his idea of heaven, and I love this. He said, "I believe there is no violence in heaven, no shootings, no drugs, and as Daddy says, not even the IRS." And he continued, "Jesus in heaven is good to all children who have died, and He plays with them, and He is fond of you," end quote. We know the end of the story, and God is fond of us, more than fond. And God always wins. Even when our hopes seem far off, His purposes will be achieved. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And so I can't say it any plainer than this morning. First, be a partner with Christ. It is an eternal relationship. Secondly, celebrate and give thanks within the family of God. And thirdly, be confident in God's victory. God's victory over sin and death, they are certain through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you do these things, then joy, indestructible joy, will walk into your life. May it be so always. Amen. may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit always be with you. Amen.